Data Navigator. Der Podcast zum EU Data Act.
Hallo liebe Freunde unseres Podcasts Data Navigator. In unserer kurzen Sommerpause teilen wir mit euch ein paar Podcasts, die ich vor gut einem Jahr zusammen mit Ralf Kleinig aufgenommen habe. Dieses Mal allerdings alle auf Englisch. Hört mal rein, es gibt dort wieder spannende Geschichten, was man alles so mit Daten machen kann und wie dabei der Data Act helfen kann und auch wie er zustande gekommen ist. Viel Spaß dabei und gerne wie immer liken und subscriben. Wir freuen auf euch und ein Wiedertreffen nach der Sommerpause dann wieder in deutscher Fassung.
Good morning. I'm here today with Daniel Stölzel. He is a smart city expert from Mainz, and he and I will have a chat this morning about great things that City of Mainz has started under the leadership of Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Nice to have you here with us.
Hi, Hubertus. Nice to meet you today here in this podcast.
Daniel, if you think back the last couple of years, what is the biggest highlight that comes to mind if you think about sharing data in and with the City of Mainz?
That's an interesting question. I'm dealing with that topic now 5 years, and one of my highlights that started around 2 years ago with meeting another guy from Germany here, who is the CEO of DKSR, Datenkompetenzzentrum Städte und Regionen. This is an open source, open data platform. And we started with that startup 2 years ago, and now we have a project funded by the German state, and this project is called Kommunales Datenwerk, and there we try to establish a public data factory or something like that, operated by municipality enterprises and municipalities only, because we want to provide their base where all the public servants can really easily deal with without having technical experiences, because we realized that this is the most or the highest problem for sharing data. And with this project, we hope to find a good way to increase the using of public data in the case of smart city projects.
Okay, well, you're touching on public data. We're going to talk about that a bit more later on. But tell us a bit about Mainz. You are from Mainz, and the City of Mainz has started quite early with smart city ideas. How did this all start, and how did you get involved?
Yeah, Mainz is the capital city of the state of Rhineland-Palatinate, and traditionally, Mainz is not really a wealthy city. And 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, with the pandemic, you know that we have in Mainz one of the problem solvers. It's called BioNTech. And from that date on, Mainz became one of the richest cities in Germany. And so we got a little push forward also for this smart city and data sharing activities, because from one to the other day, there was a little bit more money. So Mainz is normally really not really beautiful. We have also beautiful areas in Mainz, but normally you come there because we drinking some wine produced by the local wineries. And it's always nice to be there and to meet and greet people. We start projects normally and not doing businesses. The business starts also small winery restaurants.
Well, I love wine, so I may take you up on this offer and brainstorm with you next time. But tell me about yourself. How did you get involved in smart city? How
I started in Mainzer Stadtwerke without any knowledge of smart city, but I was hired by my boss because I open-minded, and I also studied some, held a master in innovation management, and all these come together to give me the opportunity to learn what is smart city. And so I start from the scratch 5 years ago with this topic and learn how smart city works. Really, I didn't have any ideas before. And in the past 5 years, I learned a lot. And perhaps this was also a success for me, because I do not know how to do it. So I do not know what is wrong or right. And I do it in the best way I can deal with that topic. Of course, I did some mistakes. On the other side, I guess, at the end, it was really a success story, because I did it in a really natural way, not knowing what does not go. I think it was a success story.
Tell us a bit about the success. So what is Smart City for you? What are the typical projects that you are exploring and putting into place?
The smart in smart city is really, for me, the people which I'm dealing with. The people must be smart. Of course, when you have smart people, understanding that you do not work in departments, but in between departments, and the people have an open-minded access to this idea, then smart city in the common sense to make a more livable place in the city, then it becomes reality. Without that, it's the smart city is only a wording, and everybody understands in the first instance only using data to do something with that. But for me, it's the third step. The first step is find people with whom you can working on that issue, build networks, and with all the stakeholders relevant for that topic. And this is more or less everybody in a city, and not the IT people, not the marketing people. It's really everybody on the street you can work with, because everybody is involved in smart city if you define smart city in a really broad case. And that's the reason I'm doing.
Daniel, that sounds wonderful. People first, I hear. Can you tell us, can you share with us a bit about the project or the projects and how you literally started it with the people and then technology and data? Can you give us an example of a project?
Yes, I will do, but I want to make clear what my role in this business is, because I'm coming from the public utility, and the public utility is, of course, a major player in this business. That public utilities are one of the major players to realize smart city. And therefore, at the beginning, it was not really clear why the Mainzer Stadtwerke is dealing with that topic. But on the other side, we are responsible for the essential public services, so-called Daseinsvorsorge in German, where we deal with the energy, providing energy, drinking water, public mobilities, sewage disposal, and so on. And in the last years, also the discussion or the area where we work on was expanded to also digital services. That starts all with the fiber optics. And now we are in the position to deliver more services like LoRaWAN as communication, as an additional communication service. But also we provide, for example, in Mainz, the urban data platform for the complete municipality. That's the idea behind. And that's the reason why we are, as the Mainzer Stadtwerke, in this role to realize the idea of a smart city in Mainz. That's first of all what I want to address, because it's perhaps somebody will ask why public utility is dealing with that issue. And now coming to your question, one of the projects we start really early was the idea to give the city of Mainz more information about the data for the air quality in Mainz. Mainz was one of the cities not comply with the European regulation for air quality in case of nitrogen dioxide. So the city of Mainz need more information or more data to understand where all the hotspots were in Mainz. And we started the project to build the infrastructure with IoT services and IoT sensors to measure the air quality in the city of Mainz. And this was the first project, which was really complicated at the beginning, because there was a huge discussion about the quality of the data. And this is still one of the big issues also up to date, how you can trust the data which comes from IoT sensors, which is not, which do not fulfill any classical standards or the regulation. And this is something which I have always in my mind when I start a new project. How can I convince our partner that the data we are delivering, the Mainzer Stadtwerke, are good and fulfill the high requirements of our counterpart? And always,
tell us yeah. How you did it. How did you place these sensors across the city? How many and where did they go?
We decided to, I contacted the responsible guy at the authority of Mainz, and we discussed about where could be interesting places. So we discussed with a startup called Havadava, which we're working with. And so we decided to put all these nine sensors which we bring to the urban area, to the land posts in Mainz at 9 places, which we agreed on with a responsible guy from the authority of Mainz. And then we start to collect data. And of course, it was really clear from the first beginning that the city of Mainz said, yeah, but what is the quality of the data? And we always said we try to do our best to fulfill the requirements given by the European regulation, which is at the same level of the so-called passive sammler. These are small measurement installations which collect so the nitrogen dioxide and will be identified in the biochemical process afterwards, and are collected by hands and only give one data each 14 days. Oh. And so we have these really better way to transform data or to deliver data in 15 minutes intervals, and also not by hand, but by air, so to say, because the data was sent by GSM. And this was really an advantage also for the city of Mainz. But the quality of the data was always under discussion. And then we decided to put some money in there and discussed with our startup, Havadava, how we can reach the highest standards. And at the end, to make a long story short, we get a certificate by the TÜV, or Havadava get the certificate by the TÜV, stating that we, or the sensors, algorithms behind, fulfill the high requirements of the European regulations according to these passive sammler. So at the end, the data which we delivered for more than 2 years are completely agreed with the highest standards. And that was the point where the city said, okay, we understand that with this new technology, with this smart city technology, because it's IoT, because we use the urban data platform, because we make some visualization out of the data, was really helpful. And at the end, and this is really a long story now, it's I deal with that almost 5 years. At the end, we are close to make a deal with the city of Mainz to deliver this data for the next 5 years, to provide that to the eco-sensitive mobility in Mainz to control the street lamps and so on and so on. And this is a real success at the end, because it's the first business case for us as the Mainzer Stadtwerke, where we have a data-driven business case on that. And this is really a complete new business model for us, because at the end, normally we only deliver infrastructure. And now from that point on, we will deliver data and do all the services behind. It's up to us, and we only deliver the API for Unix to get the data from the Mainzer Stadtwerke. And this is completely new for us, and this is really a success at the end, because this is a game changer in accordance to the culture Mainzer Stadtwerke.
Well, excellent. It sounds great. It sounds step change. You earlier talked about the need to bring people on board. How did you do that?
So the success is that you always deal with all the hierarchy levels in a city, starting from the bus drivers up to the mayor. And this is really my daily business. At 9, I have a discussion with somebody from the authority. And at 10, I'm talking to my CEO. And at 11, I have a meeting with the mayor of the city of Mainz. And this is really the things you have to do if you want to be successful, because sometimes you have to start some projects starting with the opinion of the mayor, and then you are successful. And sometimes it's helpful not to start at this level and to produce some results before you go at the highest level. And so you have some projects which are under the radar. So you start to build up some prototypes and show someone at the higher level this is what you can reach when you give us more money. And this is, I can show you here, for example, what we already have done for that. And this is always from project to project, you need to find more stakeholders or the relevant stakeholders to realize these projects. And this is not that you can say in general, you have to do it in that and that way. It's really, in my point of view, a complete individual process, project by project.
I can totally resonate with that. You talked about air quality as the initial project and being sort of the eye-opener for quite a few of the people and maybe the city of Mainz. Were there other projects? Did you do anything in mobility? What about the sort of the fleet, for instance?
Yes, we did also something with e-mobility. That was the first data-based project on our urban data platform. The idea was the Mainzer Stadtwerke are the owner of most of charging infrastructure in the city of Mainz, the public infrastructure. We operate there more than 100 charging points. And the problem is that most of the drivers of electric vehicles are contacting our hotline and say, hey, there is again there I cannot charge my car because there stands a non-electric vehicle and blocks the parking lot in front of the charging station. That was the starting point of that project, and we ask ourselves how we can bring more evidence on these single opinion of some of the electric vehicle drivers. And the idea was that we connect the API of our charging provider and install additionally in front of the charging station on the parking lot some sensors. And so we have the chance to understand if there is someone parking in front of the charging station and is not charging, and the opposite around. If there is someone is charging, it's obvious that there is standing a car in front of. That's not always the case because sometimes the cars that cross exactly they crisscross on the charging stations, but this is not the majority. So we did that for 20 parking lots in front of 20 charging stations and collect the data over a period of time. And then we start to analyze the data. And it was really fantastic because we can prove by data that we have 60% of wrong usage of the parking lot in front of the charging station. And this is from the percentage a high amount, but if you check really the number, we did this data collection over 6 weeks. And in this time, we have more than 2,000 wrong usage of the parking lot in front of the charging station. So, and if you also check that again, and this was only possible because we have these two sensors, the charging station data and also the parking lot or the sensors for the parking lot. By time, it was also 40% of the usage of the parking lot was caused by wrong parking. So if you calculate, and this is what we done and also present that to our CEO and said, okay, guy, this is what we found out by data. Or we have several strategies and ideas how we can deal now with these problems. And this is not based by any calls from the electric vehicle drivers, but it's based on a 6 weeks period of data, which we really collect and have in our mind to do something different in the future. So now we are on the way to think about how we can realize the strategies which we identified after analyzing the data. And perhaps a short story from the starting of this idea, because I gone to the CEO and said, okay, this is my idea. I want to do this project. And he said, okay, Mr. Stölzle, that's nice. But what is the business case behind it? And I said to him, I don't know what the business case is. And he responded to me, and why should I give you the money for that? And I replied, because we need to collect the data, because without the data, we will never know what happens on the parking lot and in front of the charging station. And this is also a game changer in the mind of the CEO, because he always wants to have, of course, we invest money, we invest time and resources in this issue, but At the first instance, of course, the CEO needs to ask also the questions for the business case.
So, Daniel, how did you convince your CEO then?
At the end, I must say that it's a kind of trust that he said, okay, I understand that because I'm an engineer and I know that data is the basis for a lot of things. But of course, it's a little bit a risky position also from his point of view, because we do not have the data. We need to collect the data. So we have to invest in sensors, and we have to invest in the urban data platform and all the programming of the processes. And at the end, he said, okay, Mr. Stolzer, I understand what you want to do. I see also the point that it might be a case for us. And at the end, I trust you and please start it. And this is at the end, the success story of this discussion with him.
Excellent. Well, you came across a lot of obstacles and hurdles. What would you advise people that are embarking on the journey of a smart city and data sharing? What to avoid, what to do, what not to do?
At the first beginning, when I'm thinking about some new projects, or new projects start in my mind, and I realized that there might be a project might have an impact on smart city activities or on the city. When I'm thinking about the needs of the stakeholders in general, that might be enterprises, that might be also the citizens of Mainz and so on. So starting from the needs of the stakeholders, it's, in my point of view, the biggest issue, because there are a lot of needs when you look around in the city. When you identified one of the needs, for example, I already addressed to you the air quality sensors, that was a need, so we started. And the next point was get the right stakeholders on the table and discuss what they really need, what are their obstacles in this case. And when you have the right people on the table, perhaps the next question will come, okay, who will pay for that? And of course, without money, it's difficult, but also some projects, you can start with small money. And this is also, for me, an advice which I can give to public utilities. Also, we as Mainzer Stadtwerke wants to make projects big at the first beginning. And I think the success is make the project small. Start really with a prototype, start with small successes. And then when you can present success to the CEO or to the mayor, then they will understand what the project could serve to the citizen or to the city, and they will give you the money. In my point of view, because money is at the end not the problem when you can show them a success, but you have to convince by first prototypes to show them what you can deal with that. Because the problem you have to overcome is that mayors and CEOs and or the top management, they have not experiences in the area of smart city and data sharing and using data and what that could be, because it's too technical, it's too. They have no experience with that. So you need to give them an idea which influences their thinking on this topic. And then you can create a success story out of it. So it's a little bit about storytelling at the end. You need to tell them a good story, what might be the success for them at the end. And if you can tell them a success, then normally such projects are working. It sounds easy, but it's more complicated than it sounds.
Well, you clearly achieved that part very well.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that you were sharing data between your organization, the Mainzer Stadtwerke, and then there was a startup, and then there was another company, yeah, and there was the municipality. Yeah. What's the role of data sharing, and how did you experience that? Was it easy? Was it difficult? What is your advice to make this data sharing happen?
Data sharing is one of the biggest issues you have to overcome when you try to realize smart city projects, because there are a lot of stakeholders also only in the public sector which have a lot of data. And sometimes the public utility needs data from the authorization and the other way around. Or you have, for example, the wastewater treatment companies, which have data, and we as Mainzer Stadtwerke need that data for realizing some projects. So you need to find a way to share this data. This is a technical question. Therefore, we have a lot of solutions already, or existing solutions. I guess the problem is to find or to create a space there all the stakeholders trust each other to give data from one company or from one organization to the other organization. Of course, there are a lot of things like when I'm talking about Mainzer Stadtwerk, we have these critical data for critical infrastructure, and we have to also overcome this idea that everything is critical infrastructure, so we cannot share the data. And this is one of the ideas we just try to solve with this project, Kommunales Datenwerk, where we have a big issue on the legal aspects, because we need to overcome to as a trust building idea to say, okay, we checked all these issues from a legal basis, because the technical we already have solved in the past. We can do that. That's also, of course, it's complicated, but it's not the core of the problem. The core of the problem is that a lot of public authorities do not trust these systems, these technical systems. And if you can show them based on a legal statement that they can do it, and you have created an area where only these organizations from public services, for example, are part of this space, this data space, then you have a game changer, because this is, in my point of view, not existing already, at least in Germany. And when you're talking about public authorities, they do not want to compare with Spain or Italy. They want to be fine with a legal situation in Germany and not with Italy. So you need to create this data space for Germany. You need to create a legal safe space, and a space where only these public services, public utilities, public companies, enterprises are a member of this data space. And when you have the chance to do this data sharing, that's the expected result of our project here, is that data sharing will get more easy. So when you have this data space, like the Kommunales Datenwerk, this public data factory operated only by municipality enterprises and municipalities, then I think we can start to share data in between these organizations in this database, and smart city projects start to get realized.
Yeah, but Daniel, let me just challenge you here. So are you saying that you don't need any data from non-public organizations for your projects?
No, it's not what I want to say. I want to say that you need a space where mm-hmm. only public companies can share in a first instance their data. That does not mean that you don't need data from third parties, which are not public. The other way around is correct. But for as a trust building project, or as for trust building purposes, you need to have this data space where only people and organizations are member which have the same cultural background. That means they are public servants, and there are public utilities, and so on and so on. They have always this idea not to share data because it could be critical, for example, for Mainzer Stadtwerk, it could be critical data which we do not want to share. So when you create the room with only the same people or enterprises and stakeholders, you have this trust-building institution. And within these trust-building institution, this platform, you can share data. But that does not mean that you do not need data, for example, by BMW or Volkswagen or Tier or whatever. Of course, you need that data. But
okay, I get it.
At a point, we need it.
So there is a data space focused on municipalities and public services companies, yeah,
exactly.
Exclusively. But then yes. In the second step, you would consider sharing data from there with more open data spaces, the mobility data space or any other data space that gives access to other players.
Exactly. From a technical okay. point of view, of course, yeah. there will be also a catalog where you can show which data are in these platform. And of course, it might be possible that there are some open data, but there will be also some restricted data, which will only be shared between the members of this data space, because you do not want to give, for example, statistics of the bus transportation from the public services to a commercial company outside that. But you need that insight, because to plan, for example, transport for schooling. So this is the idea behind to make it easier intra-municipality, but you can share also with other municipalities and if it's not restricted, it's also open data and you can share this data with third parties.
Well, it's
and
a great
the
idea.
Around.
I wish you and your team and also the other municipalities and cities that are involved all the luck. And I hope that you,
thank you.
manage to get this platform up and running very, very quickly. It sounds like a great idea. Thank you very much, Daniel, for this wonderful discussion, and keep in touch and see what's going to happen next.
Data Navigator, der Podcast zum EU Data Act.